Ava, malo le soifu, malelangi mama, ki orana, malo elelei, fakalofa lahiatu, talofa, koko mele mele puka, mau, mai te ama, e momo lava pikia pe te tato tamana italangi motana tauhinga, mana haka manuyanga, mo ki tato uma. Mo te ola ma te maalohe ku maue ki tato, toka tino in tato tamohaina benei. Yeah. Once again, warm Pacific greetings to all our listeners. You are tuned in and listening to Te Ama Radio on Planet FM 104.6 or live streaming online at www.planetaudio.org.nz. Or if you missed the broadcast, listen for the next 7 days at www.planetaudio.org.nz/Te Ama Pacifica Health.
Talo falava and good morning. Malo elele kia ora na ni sambula minaka. Ia ora na talo hani, kalo falahi atu and kia ora koto katoa toa. And this morning we have the privilege and we are blessed to have Kenneth McKenzie with us in the studio right here with me. And Kenneth McKenzie, a commercial pilot, since a young age, Ken developed a fascination for planes. The first flight he remembered taking, it was a holiday to Samoa when he was only 8 years old. And of course, as we normally do before we start, we always acknowledge and invite our Father's Holy Spirit to be with us this morning. And we will open our program with a word of prayer. Fatalo fatule malo la fafonga le netula. Mae mo mo lava na tatu si fata silvi ingele tua. Uli mele ola amataina ila tatu poklame ile tatalo. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank you so much, Lord, for your love and blessings, the gift of life, that we are able to be here this morning, Lord. We thank you so much and we give you all glory and praises. And Father, there are many listeners out there who are blessed with this program, are looking for answers, and only you can answer whatever their struggles may be. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all glory and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
the sun's gonna shine in God's own good time, and He will see.
And welcome back to our beautiful listeners this morning. Again, I'm sitting in the studio looking at the window. It's actually quite calm, which is good after we've had rain and windy. But, well, it was good for the washing because it dried really fast. But we continue on. And of course, this morning we are privileged and blessed to have Kenneth McKenzie, professional title, which is commercial pilot. Since a young age, Kenneth developed a fascination for planes. The first flight he remembered taking was a holiday to Samoa when he was only 8 years old. Well, me too. I was very excited when I met Ken and talked about, you know, being the first pilot that we have here in our Te Ama radio show. So adrenaline kicked in with the acceleration of their first takeoff, amazement as the ground rapidly dropped away beneath with the field of view that seemed to stretch forever beyond the horizon, and awe as the plane safely reached our destination, touching down in this exotic paradise. A seed of curiosity was planted that day. How do they do it? How do a couple of pilots get a heavy machine full of people into the air, fly over 1,000 miles across of endless ocean to a tiny dot in the middle of the Pacific, and gracefully bring it back to land again? I was hooked. Kia ora and tēnā koe. Kenneth, welcome on behalf of Te Ama. We welcome. Thank you for making your time available to be with us here this morning in person, right in this studio. And welcome. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Yeah, doing good, thanks.
Okay, me too. The audience know that you, Ken, is the first guest speaker who is a pilot. And can you please tell us a little bit more about you, yourself, your background, Ken?
Okay, so with regards to, well, before we go into the flying side of things, my background is a little bit of an unusual story. I'm Balangi, half Māori, but I was actually raised by a Samoan family. So that brought with it a cultural diversity that I would never have otherwise been exposed to. My adopted mum, she's actually the sister to my biological mum, so I was whangaied at a very young age because my biological mum couldn't raise me. But then she married a Samoan man, and so that's where the Samoan influence came in. And that brought with it many blessings. For one thing, I got a taste for exotic food, and definitely lots of it. And I had the joy and the privilege of being surrounded just by heaps of cousins and aunties and uncles, and always getting up to mischief and understanding a lot of the Samoan jokes and the stuff that the normal New Zealanders may not have the opportunity to fully understand.
That's great, Ken. Well, Balangi Māori and Samoan parents who has brought him up, and yeah, he does love the balusami, did you say?
I do enjoy taro, and I do enjoy chop suey, and definitely KFC.
Oh, definitely KFC. But balusami also, that is actually a very special dish, yeah, the luau with
is,
the taro. And
yeah.
You don't like that?
I eat it from time to time, but yeah. It's not the top of my list. I usually go for the chicken first.
And so you have aunties and uncles and a lot of cousins, you know, Samoans, and also Māori and Balangi, a very, very good mixture. So, well, I wish you people can actually look at Ken in person. He's a very handsome young man, and also very fit. So what's the secret that you're staying fit and looking good as you do?
Well, from a very young age, I decided that I didn't want to be a part of any of the alcoholic influences, and I stayed free from smoking, and I just ate sensibly.
very good. Thank you, Kane, for letting our listeners know a little bit about your background. And so, from here on, what are your plans with regard to your flying as a pilot?
Well, at the moment, I'm in the middle of a fork in the road, trying to determine what is my sense of purpose and where I'm heading in life. I've hit many stumbling blocks along the way, and so at this particular point in time, I'm trying to determine whether to continue in the aviation career or whether to go out there and do something just a little bit more meaningful and purposeful, reaching people in need that aren't as fortunate as what we are here in Aotearoa.
As a young person, what actually made you wanting to know about how this big thing get off the ground and stay in the air, as I'm learning from what you're telling me? So what really made you want to be interested in about planes?
I guess that that first ride that I took was what really sparked the curiosity. Just wanting to know the unknown. Everything was just such a mystery to me going on that plane ride. And with a thirst for knowledge and a thirst to fill that curiosity, that's what actually led me on the journey to eventually go into flight training.
Yes, and so when did you actually start in that seat and fly a plane?
As soon as I completed my high school, at the earliest opportunity that I could take, then I went into flight training based here in Auckland. That was about 20 years ago, and within a year walked out of the flight training school with a commercial license and various other ratings which would allow me to operate for a commercial operator.
So what was actually like, you know, being behind that and people behind you and then you actually flying the plane yourself?
Well, actually, I didn't actually get to fly a commercial aircraft or get to fly a proper aircraft with passengers on board, paid passengers on board, until several years later. Once I completed my flight training, I ended up completing an instructor's course, and so I taught others the essential skills that they needed to be able to operate an aircraft. It wasn't until I went offshore that I had my first taste of commercial aviation. And I guess it was a sense of a joy in the accomplishment of getting to a particular milestone and just realizing that, yeah, I've made it to this point so far. I've proven to myself that I can, you know, that I can actually reach my aspirations to become an airline pilot someday. Having those first paying passengers on board was kind of exciting, especially when you arrive at your destination and you look over your shoulder and you see, you know, a face full of smiles down the back of the cabin.
Mm-hmm. And while you were in the middle of the air, and did you ask and say, "Wow, God, you are so awesome and mighty to be able to fly that plane and being in the middle of the air"?
I think I was awestruck more so with the exhilaration of just the sense of accomplishment to allow any other thought to come through my mind. It's not until I sat down in those quiet moments and then I realised, you know, many years later, the hand that was actually behind the work in orchestrating my success so far.
Hmm. So, part of your journey in life, so from there, you've achieved what you wanted to do in flying a plane. So, what was your next way of curiosity in life?
Well, the step of flying an aeroplane was only just really a small pebble in the many steps to take to reaching my final destination, which is to one day to operate for an airline. It's a continual journey. So ultimately, I'd like to end up in the left-hand seat of a a large commercial airliner operating long haul between Auckland and Los Angeles and Shanghai and all of those exciting and exotic locations. It's a matter of when God opens up those doors for me, when he, you know, in accordance with his time and his providence, no doubt he's going to reveal that to me.
To our listeners, because Ken is quite young himself and also single, and I've also known, after knowing him and speaking with him, he also has a love for God and service to God, families and friends. And so do you want to share a little bit about you know, that part of that side of your life, you know, serving God and families and friends?
Well, family has always been a very close part of me. Since growing up in the Samoan culture and just being always surrounded by an abundance of love and, you know, an abundance of cousins to connect with and to get up to mischief with and just to bounce ideas off and everything like that, has instilled with me a love for others, particularly those that are struggling. I have a big heart for youth and the young people, and to basically share with them in their journeys and help them through their struggles and their hardships, and share in their joys and help them to learn and to grow from their experiences and in life is another part that is actually just playing on my heart.
Yeah, meeting and speaking with you, Ken, he has this heart for youth, as he said, and young people, especially the hurt, heartbroken, neglected, and abandoned. He have a particular soft spot for, you know, our Maori and Pacific Island kids, and where he can engage with them at their level and try to see the world through their eyes. That's really good, Ken, that you're able to do that. In having that ministry, having a heart for the youth, because I do notice there is a lot of youth who are just on the street. You know, many I see at the lights, actually doing nothing but waiting to wash cars and things like that. Yes, my heart goes out for them too. Yeah. So good to hear and to know that you know, you're praying for them. And what do you think that we can actually do for these young people?
Well, when you look at it, you know, just being completely surrounded and immersed by seeing all of this hopelessness and desperation, the problem often seems quite large. The resolution actually comes from within the home, with mums and dads and aunties and uncles just taking the time to sit down with a young person and put an arm around their shoulder and just hear them out and just to hear what their thoughts and ideas are and just to listen to what it is that they're actually going through. So if more people would actually just take a genuine interest in what's happening within their own families, I'm sure that we would see less and less of the neglect and the hopelessness that we actually do see out there on the streets. I mean, that's basically how I work, is within my own family first, and then slowly that sphere of influence increases to those that are within my vicinity, such as at church, for example.
Yeah, and it's good what you're sharing right now, because to reach out to them, especially your Palangi family, Samoan, and the Maori as well, so you've actually got a good way and vehicle of being able to reach those people. As you shared, you share a part of their journey with them to lighten some of their hurts, helping overcome struggles and hardship, watching them blossom and develop, and partaking in their joy and laughter gives you life a sense of purpose and value. That is really good, Ken. So with that, what are your short-term plans? There's something that you're going to be doing in that line of actually helping and supporting young people. Is there a plan that you're about to be fulfilled soon?
Yeah, well, as I say, you know, God works mysterious ways, and he hasn't quite opened up that door to the airline industry yet, though I've had many opportunities to attend interviews. None of those interviews have actually resulted in yes calls. So while there is this point of stagnation, I have looked at volunteering overseas for a little bit, because another place that's actually impressed upon my heart is Central America, places like Mexico and Guatemala, Honduras, and so forth. And so I've managed to get a response from a couple of volunteer organisations overseas, and they seem to be quite interested in having me go over there and work with their kids. So I might be heading across there at some time in the very short term to offer my services for about a year or so, and then we'll see what doors God opens from there.
Mm. Thank you, Ken. And right now you are actually giving time, your time, in helping young people, teaching them the Word of God. Is that right, Ken?
Well, within our church, you know, I run the Sabbath School for our youth, and we get quite in-depth with the topics that we discuss, and I try and make the word relevant to them, you know, stuff that they can actually apply in their own lives and relate it to the experiences that they've been through and into what they see in the world around them. And what I'm finding with a lot of these youth is that a lot of questions that they carry and a lot of burdens and misunderstandings that are plaguing their minds, they are actually starting to receive answers to, and all of a sudden it's helping them to understand the world around them, and from there they're actually able to make informed decisions about what choices they make and which paths they choose in life.
And do you find that those young people who are Christians actually understand and know what they want in life and how to be successful? Do they actually have that personal relationship with God, like what you are trying to share with them from the Word of God?
Well, it's a bit of a journey for each and every single person, you know, a walk with God. A lot of these young people, when they do enter into the classroom, they have a head knowledge of God, but they haven't really got a heart connection with Him. So through basically studying the Word together, walking through life together, and lots of intercessory prayer, the idea is to basically plant seeds in their minds and in their hearts so that the Holy Spirit can actually do the rest of the work and actually lead them into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. I am seeing that there is transformation taking place within the hearts and the minds of our youth and the responses that they give. So I do know that God is working upon their hearts through the ministry of His Spirit.
Mm. As part of our discussion this morning, as we started off with Te Ama radio show, it's actually about celebrating your success. So with these young people, do they actually know of your background as a very successful young man, Palangi, Māori and Samoan, with your that you have successfully reached your dream of wanting to, you know, to fly a plane? Do they know of your background, and do they ask you about your success that will help them to be motivated about doing things for themselves, or even to study, not to fly a plane, but, you know, a bit late, but yeah.
Mm. Talking about what I do as a profession is not something that I typically openly talk about. In actual fact, it's an area that I feel very uncomfortable about, because it sounds very egotistical and it sounds like I'm boasting and blowing my own trumpet. But I do share in my life story with them, both my successes and my failures, and so hopefully along the way they can actually learn from my experience and apply more sound wisdom and avoid making a lot of the mistakes that I've made through my journey.
Yeah, thank you, Ken, for answering that. To our beautiful listeners, you know, you've been listening to Ken, who is a commercial pilot since a young age, as we have explained, that he's wanting to know how, you know, how these pilots can actually keep that plane up there and then bring it back to land, you know, so successfully. And of course, he loves young people, and he had this heart for youth, and especially the hurt, the heartbroken, neglected, and abandoned. And because of that, he's actually will be going overseas to help and do exactly what he has shared with us this morning. So you have been listening to Kenneth McKenzie. We're just going to go for our first break, and stay with us. We'll be right back.
Say, oh, I'm the layout. Oh, boy, I'm the top.
Falava, and welcome back to our beautiful listeners, Malo Eleleta Lohani. And of course, you have been listening to Ken, who have a heart for youth and young people, especially the hurt, heartbroken, neglected, and abandoned. And not only he has succeeded by what he always wanted to be, that commercial pilot since a young age, and he's continued to have that love and have that heart for young people. And also sharing a part of his journey with them to lighten their hurts, helping overcome struggles and hardship. And again, he is actually with young people right now at this time of his life, helping them, teaching them to know more about who God really is in their life, not just to know about him, but to build a very close personal relationship with him. So, Ken, welcome back.
Hey, gracias.
And, of course, with Ken's life, it's a patchwork of testimony after testimony. And he has always had an exposure to the knowledge of God, religion, church, and who Jesus was. And, of course, brought up in his Pacific Island family, Sunday school was one of the things that we always had to attend, and also church services regularly. And that was all during his childhood and for most of his teen years. But as he matured, he aged, started to develop the ability to analyze and reason. And so he was noticing more and more characteristics which were painting a very unfavorable impression of the God that he had become the subject of his Sunday devotion. So, Ken, share with us about this particular finding of yours that brought God into your life, and that was your journey.
Yeah, well, I've always had the exposure to the knowledge of who God was through our family. We used to have the evening worships, sitting around the dinner table or the lunch table. Prayer would always be offered, and then there's also Sunday school. Now, in Sunday school, I was exposed to a very basically elementary foundation of who God was, that he was the creator of heaven and earth, and that he created mankind. And that was that there were certain precepts that he had given to man as an instruction for how to navigate their way through this particular life. As I was going through my teen years, I didn't quite understand the character of who God was based on what I was seeing from various members or various leaders within the church that I was attending. And so I was starting to raise a lot of question marks about how genuine is this God that the Bible speaks about, when there is so much hypocrisy and competition and pride being displayed amongst our church members. One of the things that I really struggled with was the spirit of competition. When families would put large offerings into the offering container just so that they can have their name read out with the largest amount next to it, and then seeing the financial burden that was actually placed on those very same families, you know, ours included, and the obligations and the expectations that you know they had to meet to be accepted. I got to a point where I thought, well, if this is what knowing God and what religion is all about, then really I don't want to be a part of it. So I decided one day to rebel, and I broke out and decided I was going to have nothing more to do with religion or to do with God or to do with the church. And so I basically cast everything out and started to focus on what was real to me and what made sense, which for me it was all about learning how to fly aeroplanes. That was real, that was tangible. Physics made sense, maths made sense, all of those things, all of those concepts I could understand. I could actually engage and interact with the machine better than I could with an invisible God, a God that I could not see. Long story short, that same spirit of pride that was seen in the church and all the pride and the hypocrisy actually extended into our extended family. So there was a lot of gossip and a lot of backbiting that was taking place, and very quickly I found myself becoming a subject of that gossip and quite a lot of negative feedback. I found myself on the outside of the circle, and it was a very lonely place to be. So that led me to start a journey of travel, and my first place that I travelled when I left Auckland was down to Wellington, and I stayed with family down there. But even there, I was actually experiencing loneliness, even though the family were a very close-knit and a very loving family. Through the low point of this journey, I managed to return back to Auckland for an occasion. And there was one particular family that, within our extended family, that stood out. And they were a little bit different. And when I say different, I mean that in a very good way. In my loneliness, the kids would just run up to me with arms wide open and just embrace me and just love me as one of their own. And I found that this to be different to the wider extended family at the time. Throughout the course of my journey, I figured out that these people were Christian, but they worshipped on a Saturday. And I thought, who are these crazy people that go to church on a Saturday? Everybody knows that you go and worship, you worship on a Sunday. Anyway, there came a time when they left New Zealand, and not many years later, I decided to actually go and join them, to go and be in their part of the world. And through my interactions with them, I went to church with them, not because I wanted to go to church, but only because I wanted to be a part of who they were. You know, they had a character of love around that that embodied them. And so, yeah, I'd attend church services with them, and I came to slowly understand what their reasons were for going to church on Saturdays. As I journeyed further from Australia, I went up to Papua New Guinea, and it was here that I actually got to know God a little bit more deeper. So here I am, I'm isolated, I'm on my own, I'm in unfamiliar territory, I've got no friends, I've got no family, I'm there trying to chase success. I was going to make something of this career that I was chasing or die trying. That's basically the point that I got to. But while I was up there, another pilot was employed to come and work with the organisation that I was working for. And there was something a little bit different about him as well. Instead of having that spirit of competition that you usually would find among pilots, he was very genuine. He was very down to earth, and he put others first. So if there was a selection of flights to do the following day, he would take the one that nobody really wanted to do and leave us all to choose the better options. As I started opening up more to him, I discovered that he too also went to church on a Saturday. And I asked him one day, I said, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? He turned around and goes, yeah, I am. Anyway, conversation didn't go beyond that until one day we're sitting on the balcony and we're just having a general chat about life. And during that discussion, we happened to be talking about 9/11. I turned around and I said, you know what? I reckon it's an inside job. I reckon the Americans know exactly who is responsible for those attacks. He looked at me and he said, wait here. He darted downstairs, and 5 minutes later he came up with a book in his hand, and it had about 12 chapters in it, and it says The Terrorists Within. So I started reading through this book, and it touched on topics like the sinking of the Titanic, Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, a few more bits and pieces, Waco, Texas, the Oklahoma bombings. The very last chapter was this chapter dedicated to 9/11. By the end of that book, I thought, I knew it. I'm not the only crazy person on this planet that actually thinks that something is not quite right, that there is a contradiction in the facts that have been presented. So I said to him, I said, do you have any more of this stuff? This is absolutely fascinating. And then he presented me with a whole series of DVDs that he had just recently received. And these DVDs were very conclusive in the information that they contained. Like, the facts were just simply irrefutable. There's just too much evidence to ignore. And so I started flicking through the DVDs, and there was one particular DVD that stood out. And it was a DVD called The Secret Behind Secret Societies. After watching that DVD, I was hooked. And I thought, right, we've got to watch this entire series. Long story short, by the end of those 36 DVDs, I realised that we were actually standing in a very significant period in time when the forces of darkness are aligning to overcome God's government and his image here on earth. And one way that God establishes his image is basically through the keeping of his commands. And that means basically all of the commands. And I thought, man, I have no idea what it means to follow Jesus, but to start off with, I'm going to start keeping his Sabbath. Ever since that time, the journey has been a roller coaster of ups and downs. There's been times of absolute highs and celebration of success and victory, and then there's been times of absolute lows of depression and just, I just want to end it all. But through the journey, I've always had this silent reassurance that God is with me, and he's going to lead me through this, and that he's going to take me through all the way to the end. Even though I may not achieve worldly success as my friends and as my colleagues see success, God is going to perform a perfect work in me and through me to achieve his success.
Wow, that is amazing. Thank you, Ken. Well, you know, to our beautiful listeners, you have been listening to Ken McKenzie, Commercial Pilot, and he has found freedom in the later part of his teen years and focused his energy and attention on what were to him more meaningful and real pursuits in life. So, Ken, and we have come towards the end of our time, what would you like your listeners, especially those young people who are listening in right now, a message that you'd like to leave with them from your presentation today?
I'd have to say that the journey that you're walking now is a very personal journey. Let it be your own. May you come to your own conclusions. Look at the world through your own eyes and make your decisions for yourself. Don't allow anybody to tell you how things actually are when your conscience and your instinct is telling you differently. My journey with God is not me seeking God, but actually God finding me. And that was just by me being true to who I am and to my convictions and being real with myself. I would encourage you to do the same. Once you start acknowledging truth and accepting truth, God will lead you on the rest of the journey. I mean, there's a passage in Scripture which says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. That was definitely what I discovered on that day when I was sitting up on the balcony and discussing worldly pursuits with a friend of mine.
Yes, and again, Ken has this passion and he has a big heart for youth and young people, especially the hurt, heartbroken, neglected and abandoned, and particularly a very soft spot for our Maori and Pacific Island kids, as he have expressed how he has found God. So Ken, one last question. How can you help a youth who is looking and struggling right now to get to know God before you pray to end this program.
Well, for the young people that are out there and they're struggling with whatever issues that you're facing in life, whether it be trying to find out who God is, or whether it's something that's just a little bit more tangible, don't sit there in silence. Speak up. Speak to somebody about what it is that you're going through and what hardships that you're actually facing. God doesn't work through simply the Christian to bring his word. He can work in multiple ways. But just don't sit there in silence. In your own time, if you are seeking God and you're seeking a real God, somebody, if you're seeking the God that created the universe, right, the one that knows all things, the one that really is in control, although the world may seem to be in chaos, in your own quiet time, you can always say a quiet little prayer from the heart, speaking of those things which are most important to you, whatever they happen to be, whether you're facing struggles due to failure or lack of self-worth or unknowing what your purpose in this world is. Speak truthfully and honestly directly from your heart, and God will actually hear that prayer. Might I encourage you also to find, if you're wanting to connect with a group of believers, particularly young people, find yourself a good youth group that are like-minded and that are spiritually seeking, because by your interactions with them, God will start to impress upon your heart certain truths that will bring you into a truer and fuller knowledge of who he is, and then by that you will also find out who you are as a person, and then a lot of the difficulties that you're actually facing right now will start to come undone and be resolved.
Thank you, Ken McKenzie, on behalf of Te Ama Community Radio Show, celebrating your success. We thank you, and may God continue to bless you as you also continue to bless and work with young people. Who you have a heart for, especially the young people, and I thank you once again. So let me close us with a word of prayer.
Okay. Loving and gracious Father in heaven, the Almighty God, the great Creator, the Creator of mankind, and also the Redeemer. Father, there are many hurt and there are many suffering out there, and there is much work to be done. I just pray that you send forth your spirit, and you reach out and you touch these young people. May you raise up an army among them, that they may just in truth and in purity just bring to the world a knowledge of who you are, of your character. May you heal their hurts, may you bring people to cross their paths, to rescue them from whatever situation that they're facing, whatever difficulties and hardships. May you give them encouragement, may you give them new light.